shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends. This is Stop the Movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar.
Are you reading off of a script?
I feel like, I don't know why I'm actually looking at my notes as I'm saying that. That part I don't need notes for. The one part of this movie I don't need notes for. Mm-hmm. Everything else, if I didn't write it down, I would have forgotten it. I'm Alex Dunbar. I'm joined this week by Jack Esterbrook.
We're going to send you back to hell.
And Cody Wolf.
Bringing in the sheep. Bringing in the sheep.
We're going to get into that scene. In a movie that had moments that, like, possibly are the weirdest moments that we've had on this podcast.
Films, yeah.
That really was like a whole other level because even as an audience member, I was like, I am not sure what's going on.
By that point in the movie, it's so far off the rails that it's just like bizarre and absurd. And
it's almost like it's trying to out-weird itself and the bar is already ridiculously high.
Right.
Yeah. Our movie this week is 1986's Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Yes.
I don't think there wasn't like a Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
No subtitle. Yeah, it's just Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
All right, so let's get right into this one. This came out 12 years after Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I got very excited as soon as it started playing because it was a Cannon Films movie, you know, who have provided just some of the best movies for this podcast.
Yes.
And this was not a disappointment. I'll get into some stuff about Cannon Films and this movie later on. It starts off with just text on screen. So much text.
Well, I mean, this is like how the opening movie starts.
This is how Star Wars
did.
I think this is like a thing with the Texas Chainsaw movies. It's like a.
I think they wanted it to be a thing.
Well, they wanted it to be. It was almost like trying to do the found footage thing before the found footage thing was a thing. Like in the first film, as I always say, the first film kind of feels almost like a documentary, where this one doesn't.
Right.
It was just almost like explaining to the audience what the first movie was.
It kind of was, but like I feel like they didn't edit that text or something, and the guy. But instead of editing it down,
he did like read really fast.
He's reading really fast. Like
I noticed at the end when the text was like running out, he's like really like rushing through it to get.
He's like, you also want to say, like, you know, guys, you could have rather than have him read it at a breakneck pace, you could have just cut it down.
Scroll down.
That was so weird to me. It's basically like you said, a recap of the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie.
Well, it's more saying like what happened in the last 13 years or whatever it is.
Oh, that's
like
true.
Escapes. The police looked for this family and they couldn't find them, but then there's like pockets of Texas or of a chainsaw massacres around Texas. So,
and weren't there also quotes in this? Like some stuff was in quotes, and I was like, "Who are you quoting?" Like it was
doesn't matter.
Like,
quotations make it seem more authentic.
Authentics. So then we go from text on screen to opening credits. More text on screen. We're a solid 4 minutes.
It's the red on black. It's the red on black credits.
We have not seen a moving image yet, and I'm already wow. All right, you're really asking your audience for quite a bit here.
Well, it's building anticipation, isn't it? Because this is the first Texas Chainsaw movie in, you know, almost over a decade, and they want to build that, anticipation.
Wait 4 minutes longer.
I guess so. All right, so
I'm surprised there wasn't an overture before the movie started.
Well, maybe
in theater there was.
I think it's interesting to talk a little bit about. So Tobe Hooper, he made the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He sort of became a name in Hollywood, and in the early 80s,
it was impressive work.
But then was falling off, and kind of made this as his career was sort of like sliding a little bit.
Yeah.
And,
well, this is why I hate when the first time I saw this movie, I hated it like with a passion because. Going into it, it's like, okay, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, you know what that is. It's gritty and scary, and it's, you know, a classic. And then you see, okay, Texas Chainsaw 2, directed by the same guy.
Right.
It's going to be...
He's going to reinvent the franchise.
The same thing, but he's like an experienced director now, and maybe it'll be more, even more intense and more, you know, push it further. And then you see it, and it's like a
he'll have more money.
Yeah.
And it's... I guess we should talk a little bit about the intent of this movie. Some of what Tobe Hooper is trying to do is clearly... black comedy-esque.
Yeah.
Which is a drastic
drastic change shift from the first one. And also at times, though, this movie is just a horror film.
Well, oh yeah. I mean, yeah, there's like real like gore and stuff in it. I can't really like Jack.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's the cat. That's the cat messing with the mic. We're going to move the mic over.
Cal is our family cat is tipping over a microphone right now.
You always, can stay here, but just don't touch the mic, okay?
Always trying to get some airtime.
The thing that like upset me about the Black County thing was after this movie came out and everyone kind of criticized it for being like black comedy, he kind of tried to retroactively say that the first one was supposed to be a black comedy too.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Oh, which is that's not true.
Yeah.
And apparently Canon Films was very disappointed in this movie when it was turned in. Which, by the way, if Canon Films is disappointed in a movie, like, your movie has issues. Mm-hmm. But they thought they were getting a horror movie. They were getting this kind of like weird horror black comedy hybrid.
Yeah, I still think it works as a horror movie. I mean, there's a lot of gore and pretty visceral.
There is a lot effects. Of gore.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's
almost funky. It's almost like picking on the genre a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, I guess before we get into the movie, Jack brought this up before we went on, that you can kind of look at this film a little bit like you look at the Evil Dead, the first two Evil Dead movies. The first Evil Dead movie is a straight-up horror film, for the most part. I mean, there's actually there is a little black comedy in the first Evil Dead.
But I think some of that comes from being so low-budget and stuff.
Yeah. And like Sam Raimi, I mean, I just don't think Sam Raimi could keep all comedy out.
Yeah.
And then the second, Evil Dead 2, really takes a turn where it wants to be a horror movie and a comedy.
Right.
And it worked.
But that was like the perfect balance of it. Yeah.
They balanced it perfectly. This is like similar thing, first movie, gritty horror movie. Toby Hooper just doesn't handle a lot of the comedy as well.
Well,
and that's where I think this movie struggles.
In the Evil Dead example, it's almost like Texas Chainsaw Massacre 1 is an influential film in the horror genre. It's a benchmark film. It was a landmark, right?
Yes.
And Evil Dead was just an interesting, unique horror film that kind of came out, and it was influential and it became a cult classic, but it was nowhere near the level. Of Texas Chainsaw.
True.
So when Sam Raimi made the sequel and they went the comedic route, that I don't want to say the word saved it, because I don't think it was in jeopardy. I don't think the franchise was ever in jeopardy, but it almost like opened it up to a new audience, and people were like, whoa, this Evil Dead thing is awesome. Yeah. Oh my God, this is great. Yeah. And it was kind of like that. And there was sort of a dark sense of humor to the first one that you could see if you're really looking.
Yeah.
But this time you get this horror movie, which is maybe tame by today's standards, but was still a very intense, game-changing film. Intense. It's a damn good movie. It's scary today. It holds up.
Yeah.
And then you get this sequel that's a comedy sort of? And it's like,
a comedy. Like, and I am something of a Toby Hooper fan to a degree. You know, I mean, like, there's some of his more recent stuff that I haven't seen. But I like Toby Hooper, but this feels like a comedy made by not funny people. Which is where it struggles
a little bit. To go on too much about it, but I think the difference between Evil Dead 2 and this is that in Evil Dead 2, the comedy kind of comes out of the horror.
Yes.
Like it's happening when it's like so horrifying that it's funny.
Yes.
And this one, it's like a comedy scene and then a horror scene, and it's not mixed together.
Yes. This is like two movies slammed together.
Yeah, Evil Dead 2 is funny when, you know, billion gallons of blood come flooding out of the walls and hitting Bruce Campbell in the face. It's like it's mixed together and it's funny because it's scary.
That's right. Okay, so now we're going to actually get into the movie. The movie starts with two Texas teenagers barreling down the highway, I think going to a football game.
Everyone's going to a football game.
I don't know. Yeah. There's like a lot of reference for a movie that has no football in it. There's a lot of talk about football.
They're shooting every sign as they pass. Like, there's all these signs for landmarks that I don't think are all in the same area.
No, I don't think I just think it's like remember the Alamo, and then like,
oh, it's just generic signs like
that. Yeah, I don't think it's like, you know, the Alamo this way or anything. It's just like,
oh, okay.
And I still doesn't make any sense. I don't know why they'd have those signs. Like,
yeah, true.
And they have a car phone, which
they do. This is not the only car phone in this movie either.
Two of them in 1986.
Yeah.
I can say this. I was a kid in 1986. The car phones were incredibly rare.
You had to be a Wall Street guy with like a $100,000 sports car to have one.
Yeah, I mean, really, like that's, and even then they were like rare. And so the two of them have them. But these kids are like barreling down. These performances are horrendous. I mean, both of these, they feel like stage actors that were brought in to do cinema parts because they are at, forget 10, they are taking it to like 15.
Yeah.
Like it was like everyone on the set was like, more. Escalate. Because it's to the point where you can't even understand them. They are like screaming their lines at each other, sitting in a car 2 feet from each other, screaming at each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're firing guns and shooting the signs.
I don't know. He's wearing these ridiculous glasses that you'd like see at a dollar store at Halloween time.
So they call in to a rock radio station in Texas.
Keokla.
That's right. And
the famous, the everyone's favorite DJ is Stretch.
Everyone's favorite DJ is Stretch.
Is apparently the only DJ that works at this radio station.
Around the clock, apparently.
Yeah.
And always on. So they start like harassing her, and we find out, I don't know how this is possible, we find out that they cannot, Keokla cannot hang up on calls. Literally, cannot hang up on calls.
To the point where they're like flipping switches, like they'd have to unplug the station from the power grid.
There's a point where the engineer is shouting into the DJ booth, I'm trying.
Yeah, he's just flipping like every switch there
is. He's like Scotty in a Star Trek movie being like, I'm giving it everything I got. I cannot hang up this phone.
Well, because what happens is they call in while they're playing chicken and they're swearing and they're being idiots, and she's like, come on guys, this is the radio, leave us alone, it's really funny. But then it turns out that the car they played chicken with is members of the family.
Well, that actually happens in their second call.
Then they call back.
Right, they call back.
Because then they go to play chicken with them, and simultaneously they call back around about the time they're like, they play chicken with the guy, they call her up, they're effing with her, and then they finally hang up.
Yeah.
And then the second time they say, it's like after the football game, I guess.
I know,
and
it's night.
They hear her on the radio, and they're like, hey, let's call that chick again. She's got a sexy voice or whatever, and they call her up.
And we know they can't hang up on us.
Exactly. So they call again on their convenient car phone, and as that happens, the truck that they played chicken with earlier...
They get on the longest bridge in the history of mankind.
Bridges. And they get caught up with these guys.
Well, let's talk about how they get caught up a little bit. Because this... At this point, the movie has not gone into comedy, but like the truck, they're going across the bridge. A truck is kind of blocking the bridge. They have to stop. They're like, hey, move that truck. The truck backs up. The truck now starts going reverse so that it's driving alongside them.
Right.
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, okay. And I'm like, oh, this is a little creepy. This is like sort of like shades of like Duel or like a movie.
Yeah,
like
maybe
that.
They're going to run him off the road or
yeah, like what's going to happen here?
And torture him or something.
And then I'm also at the same time being like, this is a weird way to stage the scene. Because,
it is a very weird way to
like,
stage it.
The guys could just hit the brakes and get away from this truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost like they're on tracks or something. Like they can't stop and they're just, they have to keep going forward.
It's like they also that somehow this truck, this like heavy pickup truck, actually it's a box truck, is going as fast in reverse as they are able to go. In forward, so that's amazing.
This is the first thing that strikes me. It's just how weird this attack is, like how unexpected and strange it is. I'll give it a credit for being unique, you know, like being chainsawed to death while driving a car by someone who's driving another car backwards right next to you while on a car phone calling into a radio station.
I've seen it before.
Well, this was like, to me, this was like a very 80s horror kind of scene where, like, you know, Leatherface busts out of the top of the box truck and he's swinging.
He's got a dead body tied to his body,
oh,
so he looks
let's
creepy.
Talk about this.
Like, yeah, if Leatherface isn't creepy enough,
he has a body tied to the front of his body.
Yes.
And he's, you know, swinging this chainsaw around and going crazy.
And assumingly, Chop Top is driving the truck, I'm assuming.
Presumably. Yeah. And Leatherface is like chainsawing their car and sparks everywhere. And this goes on for a while before one of these guys realizes, oh, hey.
I have a gun.
We have a gun. I'm like, that's a big, really weighted thing.
Because it's Texas.
About.
They have a gun.
Yes.
So he shoots at Leatherface, and like this. So Leatherface is wearing, like, we joke about this in the show, he's wearing masks on masks.
Yep.
He was doing all of this. Leatherface was standing on the top of a fast moving truck with a chainsaw, wearing a mask over his mask of human skin.
Yes.
So he shoots off the first layer of mask.
Well, he shoots the head.
The head. Away. And then they're like, you know.
Revealing the real Leatherface. Yeah.
I don't know why they freaked out more when they saw, like, his, like, Leatherface. There's already a dead body, like,
I know, I don't
holding mean, a chainsaw.
I mean, really, at that point, they just should have been more concerned of, like, whoa, like, how many more layers are... Is this a Mission Impossible 2 situation where there's, like, three more masks? Yeah. And it's, you get this very, and I'm not saying this in a bad way, like, it's a very 80s horror scene then of, like, Leatherface literally, like, chainsawing them.
Yeah. Well, he cuts, like, the top of one guy's head off.
And blood is splatting.
Yeah.
And blood is spurting.
Meanwhile, at the radio station, Stretch is listening to this, and she's freaking out, and it's on the air, and they can't hang up the phone.
And she's, a lot of this, I feel like the script was underwritten, and they had to pad it, because a lot of scenes involve Stretch screaming the same thing over and over and over.
Maybe that's why they call her Stretch, because she's stretching the time.
That's true. That may be. Because she's just like, hang up! Yeah. Hang up! Which, by the way, like this. That is not going to help them. If they hang up the car phone, they are not going to be better off from this chainsaw attack.
Well, I think she figured if they hung up, then she could call 911, because phone line is all tied up with a...
Because they only have one phone. Call. They don't have, like, you know, a business office that would take calls for, like, sales
it's
and stuff.
It's all one line.
That's true.
There's no one else
in
the station.
There's only two people who work at the station.
Yeah. So now, and you get this, like, kind of actually wild Tom Savini, it has to be a Tom Savini effect of what
Tom Savini, the one guy's, it is a good effect.
Yeah. Of, like, his head cut open and the guy driving the car out. And then his little friend is like, you know. And I guess it's presumed that the car, do we see the car crash?
You hear it crash
over
the phone.
You hear it crash. Yeah. Okay.
LG's like, it's dead air because it's.
That's right.
And so they hung up the phone permanently.
That's right. The engineers
they finally reached the end of that endless bridge and drove off.
It was. This bridge appeared to be roughly 4 miles long.
Yeah, I mean, that scene is at least, I would say, 2 minutes long, and they're just driving.
And they're driving the whole time. Like 50 to 60 miles an hour. Yeah.
We covered some ground.
So now Dennis Hopper shows up in
yes.
the movie.
Oh, yes. Boy, we're at the accident Ooh. Scene.
And he's at the crash scene.
The next day.
And I was, for this whole movie, a little confused as to, like, what Dennis Hopper's, like, current job title was and what his level of authority.
He's a lieutenant in some form of
law enforcement.
He was a ranger, they said, I think.
He was, but then there seems to be, like...
I thought, like, state police, maybe, or...
I guess so, because this other cop, Dennis Hopper, is poking around the crash scene,
right,
trying to get information. And then this other law enforcement officer shows up who, in different shots, seems to be both deferential to Dennis Hopper and trying to pull authority on Dennis Hopper. Right. And after, like, 3 minutes of this scene, I'm like, guys, I don't know who, like,
who is who?
What their relationships to each other are here is making me very confused.
He's like a Texas Ranger. I mean, you think that the law enforcement agencies would be cooperating.
Well, you think they would determine, like... Well, who does?
Well, I think they know this guy, and they know he's
they think he's a quack.
He's a quack, yeah.
Because they're simultaneously threatening to, like, at one point he goes, the other guy says to Dennis Hopper, I have authority from the DA's office to put you on the next plane to Amarillo. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Like,
it means he gets a free plane ticket to Amarillo.
Yeah, like, I don't even, what is that? Like, you could just say, like, hey, I have authority to kick you off this scene, but, like, why would you have authority to put a guy who's committed no crime on a plane?
And then immediately Dennis Hopper calls his bluff and he says, okay, I'd like to see you do it. Yeah, and he was like, all right, fine, what do you need? And he says, well, I want access to all of the witnesses you interviewed, and I want you to put this out on all the media releases, call him out. I don't know. He seems to be obsessed with putting this out there because nobody believes him.
Yeah, well you, if, I
and
think
they imply that he is the uncle of...
No, they don't imply. They outright say it.
They do?
Yeah, he's the
uncle. Oh, that's right, because he finds Franklin later
Franklin
on.
Franklin and
he
his
does.
Sister, yeah.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
When the other guy is totally like the mayor from Jaws, where he's just like nothing to see. He isn't like where he's like, oh, just an accident, just a couple kids raising hell.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, like, you're looking at this car, it's like chainsawed up, and you're like,
yeah, this is
what? Like, why? You know,
I always laugh at the scene. It's dumb, but I always laugh because at one point, like at the end of one of the shots, like a house drives by in the background.
Oh yeah. It's one of those double wides on it.
Yeah, but it's like a bad edit because then they, like, immediately cut to the other direction and the house isn't you don't see it driving the other way. So it was like, it was just a weird edit.
It was a straight,
I think they were shooting on the actual highway and that was just what drove by.
Yeah. But
yeah, that's right. That did not pass them on the reverse shot.
No, it didn't. It went into nowhere. I just know as an editor, like how bad, how weird of an edit it was.
So it kind of wraps up with like this guy being, you know, the mayor from Jaws type guy being like, forget that guy. And Dennis Hopper being like, I saw chainsaw marks.
He's going to go back to his hotel now and sulk.
He goes back to his hotel to sulk.
But they manages to get, well, it jumps here, right? Because don't we get, next we get Stretch goes to visit.
Well, it's confusing because he's like, okay, put this in the newspaper. Mike is all weird right now. Yeah. He's like, put this in the newspaper and on TV and stuff so that we can get witnesses.
Right.
So then the next scene, Stretch goes to...
And apparently that Mayor from Jaws guy did put it in the newspaper because Stretch sees it.
Right. Yeah. And so she goes to the hotel and she's like...
She's getting hit on by these creepers in the hallway because she wears these short shorts the whole movie.
She's like, you're looking for witnesses. I'm a witness. I was on the phone. I have it on tape and blah, blah, blah.
Can I ask you a question?
And he's like totally not into it. He's like, just go home.
No, I don't want your evidence.
Well, that's true. Yeah, he totally ices her. Yeah. Like, he has no interest. And she's like... I think your whole thing is that you're into these chainsaw attacks, and I literally have an audio tape of a chainsaw attack. I think you might want to hear it. And he's just like, he's just shutting it down.
I mean, I get if he said...
Yeah, he literally pushes her out of the hotel room.
If he said something like, I think it's a fake or something, but he never implies that. He literally just kind of says, yeah, sure, whatever, lady, get out of my hotel room.
I don't know
wherever he's staying.
Can I ask a dumb question, too?
Sure.
How did the DJ find Dennis Hopper's hotel room? Like, do you think they said in the newspaper article, like, anyone with information, find Dennis Hopper at, you know, the Starlight Motel?
Maybe
like,
she called the police. And
I don't know. It was really weird that she just shows up there.
That is.
And he seems kind of unfazed by it.
And almost
it,
like
too.
There was a scene that was cut out. Maybe she calls the police and the police say, well, you know, our department's not dealing with it. There's this guy. You know what? Here, you should just go to his hotel room.
It felt like something was missing there because I was like, okay.
Also, when he answers the door here, it looks like he's wearing like skeleton makeup or something. Like his face looks really weird.
Yes.
Well, it's like there was a scene where like he was supposed to be like drunk or it almost looked like he was in a fight. Like he had like a black eye.
A little bit.
Not like a major one, but it was subtle enough where it was like believable, where it looked like, you know.
I looked at it a little differently. There were a couple of times I was watching it where I thought someone said to the makeup department, hey, what can we do to accentuate Dennis Hopper's cheekbones? Like, because it feels like that was the approach of the makeup. And I don't know, like, it's another weird choice. Like, I don't know why, but sure, okay. Now, meanwhile, in the hotel... The DJ Stretch and her engineer
LG, who is making a French fry house, which is actually quite impressive.
He does make an impressive French fry house.
And they imply that they have this sort of like relationship where he's, you know, kind of like her bestie and they hang out. And oh, he's always trying to get in her pants and she's always like, oh, LG. And she kind of like gives him a little reassuring pat on the shoulder. This happens at least two or three times in the movie. For later on, an incredibly creepy scene later on, they imply that these two people have a connection.
They do. And well, apparently Dennis Hopper's hotel is like LG and the engineer, RJ, what's his name?
LG.
Okay, LG.
She's Stretch, he's LG.
All right, she's Stretch, he's LG. They're there doing
and
a
Dennis
remote.
Dennis Hopper is Lefty.
Is Lefty. Is also hosting a chili cook-off contest.
Well, now, here's something that, okay. So the chili cook-off contest is something that she's at, what, coincidentally? Because she's there with her engineer and
I think they were,
and radio recording equipment.
Yeah, I think they were sent to
like she wants to be
to report on it, and she just took advantage of the fact that Lefty was staying in the same hotel. I don't know.
I mean, that's a coincidence. Is there this thing? Because is this thing I don't really remember. Was she like resented that she was playing music and wanted to be a journalist or something?
Yeah, she felt like she wasn't doing anything real, as she put it. She was just playing music at midnight for college kids or whatever.
I'm not doing anything real. Hey, send me to that chili cook-off contest. Yeah. That's some substance.
Yeah, and she was excited about having this tape and being able to maybe like have a story and do something.
So we get this, like,
and I'm sitting here watching this. I'm like, why are we watching this chili cook-off thing? I'm like,
this is, like, we've taken a strange turn in a movie that already has taken strange turns. And then this guy comes up and he's
the winner.
And we recognize him.
He's, where
he's from the first movie.
He is from the first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the
he's the clan leader.
Drayton.
Okay. I haven't seen the first one in years. I thought he was.
When he walks up, you're like, oh god.
Okay.
But I will say that this is an odd way to introduce him, because in the first film he was like sympathetic and he's like, oh, I'll help you out, and then he turns out to be one of the bad guys.
At this point, you know he's a bad guy.
But at this point the audience knows, so this is more of a comical way to do it. Ha ha ha. A chili cook-off. Mm-hmm. The secret's in the meat. It's human meat, you know.
His line must
be a peppercorn with a shell on it. It's like a finger bone, and he throws it behind him. I mean, here that you could see they're beginning to play a little bit of comedy. I appreciate that they brought him back. I don't remember the actor's name, but I did appreciate that they did bring him back.
I thought one of you in the beginning of this was going to take his line here, where he's like, "This town loves prime meat."
I should have.
What a weird thing to say.
I should have.
What a strange. Okay, so. Now I'm like, okay, I get it.
And of course, nobody else knows that it's him. We, as the audience.
Yeah, we're just like, okay, so they're making people into chili.
That as he's driving away later on, he's got like the trophy sitting in the passenger seat of his truck.
With like
still chili.
There's chili, like scooped chili in the bowl. Yeah. And he's got this food truck.
Yeah.
And he hears the.
Well, because right before this, Stretch goes back to the station and Lefty is sitting there.
Yeah. Oh, wait,
is he?
Yep.
Has he bought the chainsaws yet?
No. Okay.
That's coming up.
That's my favorite scene.
That is actually a good scene.
There's something.
We'll get to it.
I watched this scene just with like my eyes open, like Clockwork Orange style. Like, what is happening?
No, I think it does. I think it happens right before this.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right, because what happens is she's at the chili cook-off, and then it kind of shows like meanwhile.
Okay.
And there's this place that's like this chainsaw emporium. Yes. And Dennis Hopper, I do actually like this scene. If it were insane. In a different movie, it would work. He walks in and he lays down like a grand in $100 bills.
Well, and before he even does that, I think he talks a little bit, and you start to realize that like.
I don't think he says
Dennis, he or maybe he doesn't talk.
I don't think he says a word.
Something in the way he looks at the chainsaw.
He's just like he's looking at him like it's like. The greatest thing in the world.
He is to chainsaws what Robert Shaw's character is to sharks.
Basically,
in Jaws.
That's basically what this is. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and so right then Jack says,
That's like the weird thing is he goes and he doesn't say anything. He just puts like I don't know how much, maybe a grand on the table, and he just like picks up like three chainsaws. He's like wildly swinging around in the store while the store owner's like watching him. Like, what the?
This guy. I mean, this guy deserves a spot. The guy, the chainsaw store owner in the all-time performance list of Stop the Movie movies.
Yes.
He's
self-aware.
I'm fascinated. I couldn't.
Yeah.
If that guy wrote a book about the making of this movie, I would buy it. I couldn't get enough of this guy.
Yeah, because Dennis Hopper's buying these chainsaws and...
He doesn't answer any. He's like, "Can I help you? Is there a kind of chainsaw you're looking for? What are you looking to cut?"
He's like swinging around the store, and the guy's just kind of like looking at him, like, "What the?" And then he's like, "You know," he picks him up to leave, and the guy's like, "Well, wait, there's gas in him if you want to test him." So there's like a log outside.
Would you say that? Would you ever say that to a guy who's been swinging chainsaws
also,
like a maniac?
Also, we don't know to what extent the chainsaw murders have been spread. So this guy might already be aware that there are chainsaw murders. And now this guy who he doesn't know from Adam comes in without saying a word, throws $1,000 cash on the table.
He's got to sell
chainsaws. Do you think
this guy is clearly unstable because... Right here, when Dennis Hopper is cutting up the log,
he's like laughing maniacally.
Yeah. Well, Dennis Hopper goes crazy on this log, like I mean, just like swinging chainsaws at it, and the chainsaw store guy. I think at one point I rewound it because there's all these really troubling cutaway shots to him,
right.
And at one point I think he says, "Oh my kid, banana." I rewound it twice, and I think that's what he said.
Yeah, he said something weird. I don't remember exactly what it was.
Do you think that guy was an actor? I think
they pulled up to the store, but we're like, "Hey, can we use your store?" He's like, "If I can be in the movie."
Yeah, point they just saw this guy and liked the look of him, and then he ended up being in a lot of cutaway shots.
Oh, yeah.
I apologize. I'm a little ignorant to the subject. Uh, is Is there such a thing as a store that only sells chainsaws?
You know what, actually, Probably in Texas. Yes, there are actually. Okay. There are. Because normally,
like I always imagine like you go to like a store. You go to like, I don't know, what are those things?
A store?
Fastenals or, you know,
Home Depot.
Home Depot and you can get a chainsaw.
Well, they'll do, it's kind of like how there's like stores that do just like lawnmowers where they will sell you a lawnmower. And they'll also repair your lawnmower.
So this is what they're saying. Okay. Oh, yeah. I was just curious. It seemed a little odd that it was only a chainsaw store.
I was in Maine.
Where do you think Leatherface gets them from?
He's got to get them somewhere.
Got to get them somewhere.
I was in Maine this summer, and I did see, I was thinking of this, I was watching a movie. I saw a store about that size that did nothing but sell and service chainsaws. And that was in rural Maine.
There you go. So, well, that is lumber country.
Yeah. All right. So Dennis Hopper goes crazy in the log. I think the next scene is that Dennis Hopper showing up at the radio station.
I think one thing before we continue, I think it would have been funny if they got like a chainsaw artist and like they cut to Dennis Hopper cutting and then he's the wide shot and there's like a beaver.
Dennis Hopper has decided that he does need Stretch's help and he does want her to play this tape.
Because he wants the people to know.
I think he just came up with a plan.
I'm doing a lot of fill in the blanks here because it seems like the Dennis Hopper arc is left for us to just guess.
He just goes crazier in each scene.
He reaches out. His family is killed by the chainsaw murders. He tries to investigate them, hits dead ends, begins to be viewed as this weirdo. He's letting his career go. Maybe he's abandoned his family as he's traveling around the state looking for these killers. And now he's to a point where he's been disavowed. And when this one chance falls into his lap, he's like, ah, you're just another fake. You people come looking for me all the time to pick on me. Get the hell out of here, right? But none of this is explained in the movie. He's a tough guy who shows up on the scene. Calls the law enforcement's bluff and says, yeah, give me what I want to help me investigate this case. And they're like, well, I guess we'll help you out this last time. Then all of a sudden he's down on his luck. At least he looks like he's down on his luck. Stretch offers him his opportunity. He rejects it, then immediately goes, I'm going to kill them with chainsaws like a zombie. Buys chainsaws, leaves, then says, Stretch, I need your help. It's weird.
If there is an arc to Dennis Hopper's character, it's totally like zigzag.
So he goes to the station. He says to her, like, okay, I want you to play the tape. And she's like, oh, you want to hear the tape? He's like, no, I want you to play it on the radio.
Every hour on the hour.
We don't actually know that Dennis Hopper ever hears this tape.
I don't know if he does.
Because from his perspective, it could be a hoax. You know, people prank call radio stations, or radio stations hoax things a lot for listeners. So it's something that surprises me that he just kind of buys into it a bit. Yeah, maybe if he heard it and there was something there that proved to him that it was authentic because he's an expert in the case, I don't know.
And you don't really know at this point, like, why? Like, she doesn't ever question, like, why do you want me to play on the radio? Well, you find out later and it's, like, crazy.
Yeah, it's really crazy. And it's also really crazy that she's just like, yep, I'm on.
She's like, okay, I'll play that murder tape on the radio.
Because this is journalism.
Well, and she doesn't just play it. We later find out she's playing it, like, every hour.
Yeah. She says, well, there's FCC regulations. I can't play something like that on the radio. And he says, find a way. And her way is, I'm logging them as requests. We have a duty to service the community by playing requests. And he requested this tape, so I'm playing it. I don't think that's going to fly with
there's
the FCC.
There's a lot of FCC talk in this section.
I mean, it was a college radio station, but I worked at a radio station. That's not going to fly. that's not going to fly.
It's so weird. Like, I kept wondering if this FCC, because they, when she like goes upstairs
FCC
and talks to
the engineer, like in control of the family or something.
I really kind of for a second was like, I wonder if this FCC like thing is coming back.
Like in the other one we watched where it was like the Illuminati or whatever was in control of the family. So she starts playing the tape on the radio.
Yeah.
And so she's sitting in the station at night and it's the end of the day. She plays it one last time and they sign off. And LG hits on her again. He's like, oh, you want to get some drinks? And she's like, no.
He begins this gimmick of spitting, which all of a sudden comes out of the blue. I don't remember him spitting before this. Maybe he did.
Well, he's had like one scene up to this point.
Okay.
So.
Yeah. Good point.
And it becomes like,
which would be important later.
His character trademark is that he enjoys spitting.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
So he like takes off. And so she's alone in the station. And she's like, you know, filling out paperwork, whatever. And she hears a noise downstairs. So she goes downstairs. And there's a weird guy sitting on the couch in the lobby.
Yes.
And he just starts.
This is our new character. He says that he.
He just starts saying, he's like, oh, you're my favorite.
I'm your biggest fan.
Yeah.
I really love music. I particularly like the one you just played with that. Oh, my God. God, that was great. Can I get a copy of that? And he's like scratching his head with this hook. And
this is sort of like, I feel like if the movie really came together for me, it was maybe in this scene mm-hmm. where sort of like the horror and the comedy are kind of meshing a bit.
Where it's like, this is so scary, but at the same time, this guy's making you laugh.
And Bill Moseley is being so weird in this scene that I was mm-hmm. a little like, oh, okay, like it's kind of hitting a weird 80s comedy horror rhythm in this scene that it doesn't quite maintain for me, but it does in this moment. And and as much as I had some issues with some choices Bill Moseley was making, in this scene, he was great.
Yeah.
Like, he was great in this.
And I like the makeup effect. I like the character. I like the idea of introducing us. If you're going to make a new Texas Chainsaw movie and you're bringing back members of the original family, why not add one more member? And like, just to flavor it up a bit.
He's super creepy in this scene. Yeah. And being super weird, where he's doing this thing where he's like, he's got like a coat hanger
and a lighter,
and he's like lighting the end of the coat hanger, and then he's like sizzling his head. And there's something in the way he's doing it where you're like, that is weird. Yeah.
And we find out really he's wearing a wig, and we find out what's under the wig later. It's really an interesting effect.
So he's like, oh, can you give me a tour of the station? She's trying to get him to leave. She's like, you know, all right, here's the desk, here's the
typewriter, fax machine, get the hell out.
The exit sign, go.
Yeah.
And but he won't leave. He's just still being creepy. And
it's I will say there's a jump scare here that was effective.
Yeah.
I'll give them this jump scare.
Well, this scene goes a little too long.
The scene this is like a 20-minute chunk of the movie is in this radio station from the introduction of the Chop Top character to they're leaving it like Leatherface and Chop Top leaving is like 20 minutes or more. It feels like it.
It goes everything in this section of the movie goes a little long. Like could have been
well, the Leatherface stuff does. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the Chop Top stuff, but the Leatherface stuff, which is funny because it's a Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, but
it's like a little too.
But I like Chop Top stuff.
So like all of a sudden Leatherface pops out of their record vault.
Yeah, and he hits Chop Top in the head.
In the head with his chainsaw.
The wig flies off, and we see he's got this metal plate from Vietnam or something.
Yeah.
And it's like he's peeling the skin away from this plate where his skin was probably used to be over it.
Yes.
Removing the skin graft by that scratching of his coat hanger, which is kind of creepy.
That's right. And Stretch is able to lock herself into like a storage room, and Leatherface is like chainsawing the door.
He's frustrated.
And she, like, what's the over-under and how many times she says, please go away?
Or leave me alone.
1,000? I mean,
she does. She does. She just keeps screaming.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like they had...
And they keep cutting back to Chopped Up downstairs yelling stuff to Leatherface, like... Get that bitch, get that. And then, like, he's just like talking to himself. And
because
just,
meanwhile, because LG shows up and he gets.
Well, that happens in a minute.
The scene is so long.
Yeah, first, Leatherface is trying to get in the storage room or whatever, and like his chainsaw dies, and he's like, oh, he like freaks out. And then LG pulls up.
Yes. The engineer comes up and he's like, hey, did you know the door's unlocked? And then he sees Chop Top, and then. Then things go crazy.
Well, Leatherface pops out and like knocks him over, and then Chop Top starts hitting him with a hammer.
Actually, that stunt was pretty impressive. That's it. I'll say another nice thing. Like when Leatherface pops out and knocks the LG character over, I was like, "Whoa, that was a real stunt!" That like some stuntman basically did with little to no protection of just being like knocked down a flight of stairs and over a desk.
Yeah.
A lot of this stuff just felt like it was on like a loop for me. It was like, okay, Leatherface banging on a door, Chop Top hitting the engineer in the head with a hammer, like, and we were just cutting between the two.
Yeah.
Where
every now and then you get, leave me alone, go away.
Well, like, leave me alone.
Yeah. That stuff I don't mind, like when they're killing or you know, hitting LG with the hammer and stuff. Like that stuff's like, because that's scary. But then just all the stuff with Leatherface and Stretch where he's like, he's gonna kill her. Then she's like, "Oh no, don't!" And he's like, "Oh,
he's gonna have sex with her with the chainsaw." This is uncomfortable.
Because Leatherface busts through. He gives up on trying to chainsaw the door, and then just like busts through a wall. And then we get like, okay, so then I don't even know how to get into this.
We got like a Beauty and the Beast thing where he stops killing her or trying to kill her.
Kind of, because
she starts to negotiate with him a little bit.
He's in the room with her, and he is going to town on a cooler full of like soda cans with his chainsaw.
Right.
And I'm like, why? Why isn't he just cutting her up?
This is his gimmick. Yeah.
And then Stretch starts being like, are you mad at me? How mad at me are you?
Yeah, it gets creepier.
And I'm like, what? What? Like,
because then she's like, how good are you? Tell me how good you are. And he's like pressing the chainsaw in her crotch. And
then we get sexy. We get sexy Leatherface.
It's an incredibly uncomfortable scene.
And I mean, it's supposed to be unsettling.
Well, I understand they got it. They hit the unsettling mark.
Well, this is where, like, this is where I'm going to slam Toby Hooper for a minute. If he had done this subtly,
right,
it would have been black comedy. It's so on the nose.
I don't think this part's supposed to be black comedy. I think that
this is one of those horror scenes. This is
what's weird about the scene, which I was saying earlier, was like within one scene, you see it where like it's the stuff with him
LG and her. Horror.
Well, LG and then this stuff, like, you know, him acting all creepy and stuff. That's like really unsettling and really weird. But they keep cutting back to like Chop Top doing one-liners and stuff and like being funny. And then they cut back to him and he's like trying to rape her with a chainsaw.
Do you think some of that may have been added later to try to soften the film a bit? Was the film too intense?
It's weird because Leatherface is like, there's shots where he's even trying to be all like sexy with his chainsaw. Like
licking his lips and stuff.
And there's like a line where like even Stretch is like, really?
Right.
Like, well, is this really where we're going?
There's a funny moment where, like, so he starts freaking out.
She's clearly not into it. She's just trying to do anything to not get cut by a chainsaw.
Yeah, so he starts freaking out. He, like, because it's just too much for him. He, like, turns the chainsaw back on and he's, like, chopping up the studio. And she, like, stands up against the wall and she's screaming and stuff. And he, like, turns back to her and, like, puts the chainsaw down and he's, like, doing like this, he gyrating towards her.
Yeah,
but it's funny because she stops screaming and she like makes this face where she's like, "What the fuck?"
There's a face where she's like, this "What?"
Is too much.
This is just a strange.
The movie becomes almost like self-aware for a moment where she's even like,
"Dude,
come on, man! Like, you know what's going on here?"
So then he runs off and and he leads Chop Top to believe that he killed her and they take LG away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't know why they didn't take her away too, because.
Well, yeah, I thought that he lied. He said, "Did you get that bitch?" And he just kind of nods. So I'm assuming at this point, Chop Top believes that she's just a puddle on the ground.
But I mean, because they're taking LG because they're gonna eat them. Making chili for
You're right. Because I remember LG was still alive. He survived the attack, so I thought they were taking him back to torture.
So they grab him and they take off and she's like, I can't let him go. So she like runs out into her car and takes off.
It doesn't take down a license plate and calls the cops. Nope. No.
She follows.
Damn it, Lefty, you're late. Yeah.
She follows the Leatherface family truck.
Right.
The two
haunted amusement park.
I guess something like weird. To this like weird compound that is like both super lit up and
well, it's like Jason's tunnels from
I kept thinking of that.
Yeah. This is like an epic, like in the first one it's just like a weird house, and this one they've got like an underground lair, like a supervillain would have.
A true compound.
Yeah.
I mean it like, you know, appears like there are Bond villains that would be jealous of like the compound the Leatherface family is running. So Stretch shows up. She now is getting chased by a car through the Leatherface compound as she is chasing the Leatherface family. Right. And I'm like, come on. It's Dennis. Yeah. It's certainly Dennis Hopper, who, by the way, is not making, you know, like, you're not rational making things choices, better, Dennis Hopper. And finally, he leaves out. He's like, hey, it's me. And I'm like, dude, you knew she was scared of you.
Why didn't you trying to run her down.
Yeah, like, trying to run someone down is not a great way to, like, tell them you're
there. Gain their trust, yeah.
And then she falls through a weird trap door.
Yeah.
Where Dennis Hopper tries to save her. He's like, okay, I'll get you. And he's reaching out to her with the ricketiest skeleton hand. I mean, like, I don't even know. You haven't seen it. I don't even know how to describe this. Like,
I don't know.
It looks like
paper mache.
Yeah. It looks like a horrible, like, paper mache prop. You're like, that's never going to, like, this is not a good plan. You can get
something better.
Yeah. Like, even just say to her, like, hey, hold on where you are until I get literally anything else. Like the tire off my car would be a better option.
Yeah.
She falls down through the trap door because the skeleton hand that he hands her breaks. Okay, and at this point, like, the movie got really weird for me. This almost becomes like a second movie,
It does kind of change. It doesn't change its direction, but this is definitely the start, like, the second, or the last act, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is the second half of the movie.
Yeah, where it does change, because the rest of the movie is just in the underground lair, and at this point, Dennis Hopper is, like, crazy and off doing his own thing, and they kind of check in
chopping,
with him every
He's chopping minutes. The support beams down.
Yeah, so he, like...
He finds the skeleton of Franklin from the first film.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it inspires this rage, and he starts just cutting the support beams.
Yeah.
And we find, so LG is creeping around in their underground wear.
But he has no...
Stretches.
Oh, sorry. Stretches. Stretch is creeping around in the underground wear. And who's it? How does it work? The Leatherface finds her?
Well, I think she... Well, when she... I think when she falls through the... The tunnel, does she end up in that room
where she does,
where like LG's body is?
Yes,
and so she hides behind some boxes and Leatherface, which I think it's funny. Leatherface comes in and he grabs like a electric, like,
knife. Oh, like a carving knife,
knife, and he starts carving LG's like skin off.
Yeah, which I, if better handled, would have been a kind of a funny black comedy moment of Leatherface, but now working with just like a little electric carving knife,
So he's like, because the you know, Drayton comes in, the father, or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, you gotta cut him up. We're gonna make chili. There's some big football games, and he's like, keeps talking about these football games in the background. Well, Leatherface cuts up the skin, and LG's like freaked out because she sees him cutting off the skin, and she makes a noise or she knocks over some shovels or something. And he sees her, so he goes over to her,
and he puts LG's face. Onto
stretch. Well, because she says, well, she tries to negotiate again, right? She's like, well, can you get me out of here? Because clearly, you know, that's kind of a thing with the Leatherface character, is he's the attack dog of the family, but at the same time, he seems to be kind of like abused by the family, and he was turned into this thing. So there's almost like this idea that maybe you could reach to him being the one to get you out if you could calm him down.
Well, plus it's obvious that he's like, kind of got a thing for her too,
and so that too. She's playing that Beauty and the Beast thing. She's like, "Well, can you help me?" So instead, he puts LG's skin face on her and starts dancing with her.
Yeah,
yeah. And she's just like, "This is by the way, this is Face Off 10 years before Nick Cage and John Travolta.
Yeah, they hadn't perfected face transplant technology yet."
But she keeps wanting to put her hands up to take LG's face off of her face.
Yeah, so he ties her.
So he ties her hands behind her back.
Yeah.
Maybe he figures in his own sick way, this is how she's going to not be seen by the other members of the family or something.
Maybe. I don't. It was confusing.
No, I think he's just a weirdo.
He wants something else just like him. I
think he wears skin on his face, so he's like putting on her face.
Oh, okay.
Like,
yeah.
And then dancing. But then that's what he's into, I guess. I don't know.
So he just like gets called away or something. And now she's like, okay, so she's, her hands are tied behind her back, and we find out that LG is actually alive.
He gets up.
Hey, nothing's going to stop him from spitting, too.
He spits so you can recognize him.
Just in case the audience is unsure of who this is, spits a couple times.
Right.
Yep.
And then frees her in a weird scene where he picks up a knife.
Almost like Hellraiser-ish, like with his, he's like skinless and he's got this knife. He's moving all weird and
he's trying to cut her rope. And you're like, I think the movie wants to make you think, is he going to stab her? But then, nope, he just cuts her.
Yeah, which every rope. Time I see it, I think he is, because there's some other movie where like something, I can't remember what movie it is, where like a character is all effed up and he's trying to free someone, but he's like stabbing her in the back on accident. I can't remember what movie it is now, but
yeah.
So, but I always think it's this one. Then when he's like doing it, like, oh, he's gonna stab her. And he's like, oh no, he just cuts the rope and
frees her. Okay.
Yeah, yeah, and then he collapses.
And then she puts his face back on.
She puts his face
like
back
as
on
as a tribute to LG. Here's your face back.
This shoot must have been so weird for Dennis Hopper, like especially the second half of the shoot, because there's countless scenes of just Dennis Hopper going through a set, just swinging a chainsaw around, destroying timbers.
Tear it down.
I'll take you to hell.
Can you? I mean, he must have been doing that for like, they must have had like 4 or 5 days where did nothing but that. Like,
and maybe that's all they had.
Like sets, they were like, okay, Mister, all right, well, you know what, Dennis, we're good here. All right, we're gonna bring you over here. You're gonna do pretty much the same thing, just a different section of the set.
Yeah.
What's my motivation? After we do that, we
got this, time instead of saying take it down, say bring it down.
Yeah, yeah.
Just make it a little different.
Yeah. And then that crew's prepping that one. You're gonna come over here. Maybe this time just do a lot of like.
Make sure you take it to 11.
Yeah.
Say some stuff about the devil.
It's just, and it's, they're really endless.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, they just keep cutting back and forth that, and then Algiera stretches, she escapes the room, and she like sneaks away.
She sneaks away to hear Chop Top give a very lengthy pitch to like the patriarch of the Leatherface family on why They should be building an amusement park.
Jack's got an alarm.
Jack's an alarm.
Sorry, guys. That was an alarm for some reason. It went off.
A lengthy pitch for his Nomland amusement park, which I was like, wow, they really left a lot of that in.
Yeah, they did.
There's a lot of, like...
Is this improv?
Like, because I've seen this movie a few times. So last night when I watched it, I was, like, paying attention to him, like, in the background. Just when, like, Leatherface and her are in that room, I was, like, listening to stuff that he was saying. It's like he just goes on and on about stuff. And
yes.
About, like, how his head was chopped by, like, by Charlie and all this stuff. And,
he really, like, thought this out. Yeah. Like, they had a lot of backstory there. Yeah.
That's why I wasn't in the first one.
And we should, I would say, I don't know if I'm going to say this as a compliment or a criticism or somewhere in between, but like this set of the tunnel structure, like it's very elaborate.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm guessing this was a soundstage. It had to have been a soundstage, but
like a big one,
like a massive soundstage. Like this set I was thinking of like the Temple of Doom set.
Oh yeah,
is like the scope of what this is.
I think it kind of illustrates the difference too between the two movies, because the first one is like this old rundown house that they just is all effed up, and this one like they built a giant elaborate set, and
yeah,
I mean it looks like a set because it's so
lit. There's like steam vents and it's just shoots and
I mean it feels like a massive soundstage set.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of wide shots to show it off.
Yeah. So they see Stretch. Sneaking away, and they chase her down, or Leatherface chases her down again. Yes. She plays with him once again, because she gets trapped because Lefty is cutting down the beam, so there's like a collapse right in front of her, so she's stuck with Leatherface, and she's pleading again, like, okay, please don't kill me.
And is this where like the patriarch and like Chop Top then like
there's
this
find her.
And this weird conversation about like sex, where
well, he
like,
says, well, you've got
CX,
yes.
Sex or the saw, boy. Make your choice.
And this got like, this was weird. I mean, like, again, and then just so uncomfortable.
They're chastising Leatherface for going after a girl when he should be cutting people up for meat so they could get better chili.
Yep.
And kind of as the stereotypical, like abused serial killer, sex is the devil, women are evil kind of thing that you get sometimes in movies. So I think that's kind of where he was going.
I think so.
But it was creepy.
It's like just off-putting. And we do get the staple of any Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie, which is the dinner table scene.
Right. Yep. Here it's basically just the same frickin' movie.
Yeah.
Kind of like lazy. They just kind of copied the script.
Yeah,
we bring Grandpa in. We tie her up. We're going to use a hammer. But this time we get backstory about how Grandpa worked at like some meatpacking plant. He got fired because they brought in these machines to butcher the cattle. And that wasn't the way to do it. This is the pure way to get meat or whatever, I guess, is in some weird rusty old...
Yeah.
I don't know. Killing people. Well, I don't know.
And so they give Grandpa this hammer... to like hit Stretch in the head with, and again, like it's so long, like it's like constant, like okay, like he'll try to hit her with the hammer and miss.
Yeah, in the first movie it worked because it was like so intense and just kept going and going and going,
and you had no idea what was going on.
Right.
You had no context, so it's like what
yeah.
wait,
just
what
so weird
why is he doing that? Why is he doing that?
Yeah, it was just like relentless. And this one, it's like you just had us laughing at something that was happening over here like 2 seconds ago, and now it's
now you want this to be. And she really does get hit with a hammer at one point, where I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like, I guess so. This wasn't just played for laughs.
Right.
Like, this is like, okay. Oh, and previously, like Leatherface made out with, like forces Stretch into like a makeout scene,
right.
Yeah.
Where I feel like Leatherface like learned everything he knows about women from listening to like the tape of Billy Bush and Donald Trump on Access Hollywood.
Yeah, yeah.
And somewhere in here, is this where then Dennis Hopper? Okay, so yeah, Stretch is now like unconscious.
Yeah,
and
Dennis Hopper. Well, they like hear. I think something collapses, and they hear like the chainsaw, and then they hear. Dennis Hopper singing Bringing in the Sheep and through like one of the tunnels or one of the pipes, and he comes out
and the movie goes like, now to kind of follow the plot points of the movie gets really nutty. You get a chainsaw duel,
which is insane
and like what clearly like so much of everything we've been seeing in this movie has been building up to is like chainsaw duel, and you're like,
I mean, just try to imagine a chainsaw duel in the first Texas Chainsaw movie.
Well, and this is where the tonal problems of the movie like came to like an apex for me, because I'm like, I don't know if this is supposed to be funny or if it's supposed to be scary. it's actually kind of neither in the moment.
Because they keep cutting back from the chainsaw duel to like Drayton under the table, like having some monologue with himself. And
Where he's like, oh, everything's falling apart. Oh, what are you going to do? I gotta find a way to figure this out. And he pulls a grenade off of a corpse.
Well, the corpse is
it's the
brother
from Hitchhiker's first movie. Yeah. Isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So which is why like Chop Top's carrying him around everywhere and stuff and dancing with him and stuff.
Okay. Because
it's his brother.
Yeah. Okay.
And so the corpse ends up under the table and he has like a bag and Drayton knows there's a grenade in there, so he like grabs that.
Okay. Okay. So he's got that. And meanwhile, Dennis Hopper has actually put a chainsaw through Leatherface in another not bad Tom Savini effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, if anybody comes out of this movie looking pretty good, it's Tom Savini. Yeah. And maybe Bill Moseley. Maybe some of the actors, with what they're working with, the actors do pretty well.
Yeah. They seem to know what they're making.
But so Leatherface has a chainsaw in him.
So now he's dueling with a chainsaw through his stomach.
Yes. And the grandpa character is trying to stand up like he's going to help Leatherface, but he throws a hammer and it hits Leatherface, which is definitely supposed to be a comedic beat.
Yeah. Because then the grandfather falls over like, ooh.
Yeah, but it's like so clearly intended as a comedic beat, but doesn't play like a comedic beat. It just sort of like sits there and you're like, okay. And something causes...
Well, when he falls, the chainsaw saws through the table and hits Drayton, who then drops the grenade.
That's right.
At this point, Stretch has run away, and Chop Top has followed after her.
That's right. By the way, I actually note that sequence as it was like a not funny Three Stooges sequence that led to the grenade going off. If Sam Raimi had put that sequence together... I'm certain it would have been funny or scary or both. Like it didn't. So you're right. And Chop Top is chasing Stretch.
Yeah. So they like run out of the tunnels as the grenade explodes. You can see, the grenade exploding behind them. There's an explosion and smoke and everything. And they run out and climb up this like mountain thing.
Yeah.
And they end up in this room on top of the whatever this amusement park, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's where like the grandmother is, her corpse is like set up there, and it's like a shrine, and she's holding a chainsaw.
Yeah. And a functioning chainsaw with fresh gas in it. Yeah. So Stretch grabs the chainsaw, and then she is pulling the starter on the chainsaw like 40 times. Well, and again, I think this scene was intended to be funny, but it's not. And maybe this is where Canon Films interfered or something, but it's not cut to be funny, where Chop Top is stabbing her as she's trying to start the chainsaw.
Yeah.
And I can even see how maybe that might have been funny.
I'm not sure if it was played as funny.
Maybe
it was more intense. Like he's...
Yeah. Okay. And then, but she finally gets the chainsaw started.
Yeah.
And
she hits him with it.
He
falls out and falls down the mountain thing and then back into the tunnels.
So we don't know if he's actually dead or not. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, he did come back in House of a Thousand Corpses. So.
That's true. And we end with Stretch dancing crazily with the chainsaw, like the end of the first.
Almost like the end of the first film. Very much like it.
But a little, like, I would say in the first movie, that scene is a little more motivated.
Right.
Where it's like, this one was just kind of like, why is she doing that?
Yeah, there's no reason for her to be doing it.
There's lots of reasons for her not to be doing that.
Yeah.
Unless they're implying that she's kind of joined the cult now and she's bugged out.
I guess, but they don't.
But no, nothing really says that. Yeah, I'm just kind of putting you up that in. To that.
Yeah. Like it's just kind
then
of.
It just
like,
goes to credits after that.
So. Yeah, it just goes to credits. Yeah, it's very throwaway. All right, before we do, is it so bad it's good? I'm going to do a quick trivia question. What's the actress? Do anyone know the actress's name who played Stretch?
I can't remember. Oh, Caroline or it's Caroline something.
I'm gonna pull out the Google here and I'm gonna find that out because I don't.
Well, actually, don't because this may don't Google yet because it may give you the answer to the question.
Okay.
She actually reprised this role very recently. Does anyone know where she reprised her role as Stretch?
I did hear that.
I did not know that. So it's a film that I have not seen because I would have noticed that.
I heard, I read
as the same character or as a similar character, like as same, a nod to
I
the
believe
horror movie.
It is the same character. Well, it, I believe it is the same character as a nod to this movie.
Okay. Is it a Rob Zombie movie?
No, which is what, which honestly, that although it's shocking to me that the answer is not a Rob Zombie movie.
I feel like I do know it. I can't remember though.
It was the Sharknado 4. In Sharknado 4, she appears as Stretch.
That's awesome. That's the kind of movie where you would expect that to happen.
I did think,
that's
like,
awesome.
Wow, that's a deep pull for a Sharknado movie.
That's a weird movie to reference. This
yeah,
movie
I mean, 30 years
Well, there's a
after...
chainsaw used extensively in Sharknado.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Sharknado. Yeah. I mean, 30 years later, a not well-liked sequel, like, but I was like, okay, I mean, you know what? Hats off to Sharknado for, going for a deep cut.
I
should say, now that we're done with this, that, like, I don't know if I mentioned it here, but I mentioned earlier that my girlfriend and I are, like, huge fans of this movie, and Bill Moseley came to ScareCon here in well, not here in Syracuse, but just outside of Syracuse.
Yeah.
And we went to it, and she was, like, so freaking excited to meet him. Like, it was like meeting, like, you know, some huge, like, rock star or something. So we got, you know, we did meet him, and we got his autograph. And he, like, she bought a poster for her to sign. And he's like, oh, so you have any favorite lines from the movie? And she's like, lick my plate, dog dick. So he's okay. So he signed it to Kathleen and Cody, lick my plate, you dog dick.
Nice.
Bill Moseley, and we have that hanging over our bed now.
Nice. I'm glad. Was he a good guy?
Oh, he was really nice, yeah.
I can totally imagine
nice.
That.
He was cool.
Yeah. He's doing a bold performance in this movie. Like, it's not...
He's having fun with it.
Yeah.
He's like, you know what? Come on. It's a horror movie. There's fake blood and, you know, loud screaming. Let's go for it.
He's on board with kind of the black comedy aspect of it. Like, it's... I would say this. I don't think it's his fault that some sections of the movie don't work.
Yeah.
I think it's like tinkering by Canon Films or something else.
Yeah.
Is it so bad it's good?
Oh,
I love it.
Cody loves this movie.
First time I saw it, I hated it. But when I saw it again, I knew what it was. I liked it a lot more.
Can I ask you this? Do you like it in a so bad it's good kind of way? Or do you like it just in it's okay. Like,
no, I mean, because every time I think about it, I think about like the Dennis Hopper with the chainsaws, you know, testing the chainsaws out scene. And and just the crazy, you know, the dumb lines. And it's just, it's so over the top that I have to love it.
Yeah. Jack, what do you think?
The first time I saw it, I didn't just not like it. I was appalled. Like, the first time I ever saw it, like, I was appalled. I was like, this is the legit canon sequel to the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre, directed by the same guy with members of the original cast as part of it. I was like, what the heck? Yeah. But then seeing it again, like Cody said, knowing what it is going in, it is a better experience. You're like, well, it is what it is. But I still don't think it's so bad it's good. I think if they removed Leatherface and put like a different title on the movie, I might have liked it better. Like if it was called like Crazy Cannibals in the Funhouse or something, that would have been a more enjoyable film. But just I can't separate that from my mind that this is in canon with the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre film.
That's
true. You know, I just can't get that out of my brain.
I'm kind of in between the two. For me, the first half of this movie is definitely so bad it's good. Like, because it's so... nuts. But once basically the Stretch starts following the truck back to the compound, it dragged a little for me. Like, there are moments where it was fun, but like the back half of this movie was a little bit of a slog.
But I think for me, Dennis Hopper, like, just the shots of him walking through the tunnels, just yelling stuff.
That's true.
That just kept it crazy.
That's true. And honestly, the scene of Dennis Hopper at the chainsaw store probably alone makes watching this film worth it. I mean,
Dennis Hopper does really well in it. Bill Moseley's character is really cool. There are some, the effects are fine. They're good. There are some unique scenes in it. Again, though, my only real complaint is that it's Texas Chainsaw Massacre. It shouldn't be this like goofy and weird and outlandish and just like this would have been better as a different movie.
It's kind of like, I feel like, I guess Canon Films was very upset at Tobe Hooper because they thought they were getting a horror movie. He thought he was doing a black comedy. And like, I feel like that's
studio meddling,
strange.
Maybe?
Well, it's strange that for the amount of money that went into this, because this couldn't have been, I mean, I don't think it was mega expensive.
No,
but I mean, we were in the millions.
Like, compared to the first one, it's...
I mean, I don't know why he wouldn't expect them to want a horror movie. I mean, he's making a sequel to like... what is considered like one of the most terrifying movies of all, you know, that kind of stuff. And then they're like, okay, let's make another one of these. And he gives them
Well, like, I'm surprised.
Almost a slapstick movie in some
spots. Slapstick, like, that the disconnect was there, that, like, they weren't on this, like, that they were so far apart as to, like, what the goal of this film was. Because, like, normally when there's that much money involved, the script is under a lot of scrutiny. The shooting is even under a lot of scrutiny.
Right.
This watching this movie actually made me want to watch. There's a documentary on Canon about Canon films, and I'm forgetting the name of it now. And I'm sure there's all kinds of people who've seen it who are like shouting it into their like headphones. But it really makes me want to see it because I'm like, whoa! Anything they must talk about this in the documentary.
Yeah. You would think so.
Yeah. Well, all right. That brings us to a close. We do have some very exciting news this week. News that when I was sent in by, I first heard about it from a listener, and I was so excited to hear, just because this was just on. It was announced that Gerard Butler is coming back for another Has Fallen movie.
Yes.
It will be titled Angel Has Fallen. I think, if I read the description right, it's
it was a little confusing, but
I think it's either the president or the vice president's plane will be hijacked.
I think it's Air Force One.
Is it Air Force One? Yeah. Okay. So it's
because it basically sounds like the movie Air Force One.
Air Force One. Or executive decision.
Now is Aaron Eckhart returning? That's the next question.
I don't think he could possibly still be the president.
They could have it set. They could set it if it takes place in an airplane. It'd be easy to just set it 1 year after. You know,
I guess. Yeah, I
mean, if they make it quick enough and like their age isn't showing, you could easily say this is 1 year later.
I just love this is like a franchise.
I love it. This
is ever want these movies to stop.
So I'm so excited. I mean, if
they should do one year of each of all 8 years of President Asher's term, they should do prequels.
I just hope, in like 20 years, this is like the Die Hard.
This is somehow still going on. And I wish people could have been here the day when Cody was and had announced to us that there was a sequel to Olympus Has Fallen when we were recording. And we were all
appalled.
You might as well have said to us, there was a sequel to, Gods of Egypt. Like, that was the level of, shock we were in.
Yeah, yeah.
We never promised movies, but I would say we're going to have to do. Even if Angel Has Fallen gets 99% on Rotten Tomatoes, we're gonna have to do it at this point.
It is.
And we watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2 on Crackle. I don't know if by the time this is released, if it's still gonna be on Crackle, crackle.com, but you know what is? Alex Cross.
I should watch that one again.
Yes. And which I highly recommend if you haven't seen it or if you want to listen to our episode. I think that movie's really, really funny.
Yeah.
And sort of like a little bit of an underrated, so bad it's good modern classic.
Yeah.
I don't hear people reference it that much, but it's like.
Yeah, I don't know if it's that well known as like a.
I think everything about it is so funny. Yeah. I'm like, I feel like half of our
Edward jokes Burns come from is.
Yeah, it's kind of. Look at what you've got. You've got.
Didn't Rocket come? Yeah, Rocket.
Rocket comes from that.
You've got Ed Burns in it.
Car accident scene was just like.
That car accident scene was nuts. Yeah. I mean, everything Tyler Perry, like every physical action scene he's doing, like, and it's also like just a storyline that's insane.
Right.
Like, oh, it's so great. It's really good. Free on crackle.com. And we're not sponsored by Crackle. We have no affiliation with them.
I wish we were sponsored.
I know. I wish we were sponsored with them. We just use them a lot. I think that does. Anything else you guys want to throw in on this?
No, not really.
I got nothing.
Yeah, as always, Jack's been posting funny pictures to the Facebook page.
Yeah.
I was really enjoying some of the ones from Olympus. I'm sorry, from London Has Fallen.
London Has Fallen.
And,
oh, my God.
Yeah, there were some really good ones on there. We're on Facebook.
Yep.
And absolutely, we will see you back here next time with our next film.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.